You might think this is following on from last week, and to a degree it is. There are certain areas of overlap. Let me ask you a few basic questions. Do you know your sins are forgiven? I hope you say yes. Do you know Jesus is your Saviour? I hope you say yes. Are you looking forward to a heavenly eternity? I hope you are. But then the question is, how do you regard unbelievers? Do you look down on them? Do you despise them? Do you think, huh, those poor people, ignorant in their sins, going off to the judgment, unforgiven, there is no hope for them. I am so much superior to them. Is that the sort of attitude that you have? If you do, it's wrong. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We need to remind ourselves that arrogance in all its forms is a dangerous sin that blinds us to our need for God and to depend upon Him and His provisions in all things in our lives. Our life as Christians should be marked by humility and not by self-exaltation. So we need to recognise pride wherever it rises in our hearts and to reject it, and rather to cultivate humility. We read from Proverbs chapter 16 in verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's dangerous spiritually. Arrogance distances us from God, and it is inviting His discipline upon us. Discipline is not something pleasant to experience, but discipline is something that we will experience if we do that which God has forbidden. Discipline is what we will experience if we go against what God has said. And people always think of discipline in terms of some kind of punishment. But discipline from God can take various forms. It can mean losing our enjoyment of the presence of God. Discipline can mean, in some occasions, it can mean getting great wealth. But the great wealth, as we have seen recently, great wealth can divert us from God and from the real important issues of life. It can result in spiritual blindness. You perhaps will remember the parable that Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. Aren't I a wonderful person? I expect you, God, to pat me on the back because I am so wonderful. But the man, Jesus makes clear, was spiritually blind. He was unaware of the fact that he was not right with God, and that he was, in fact, condemned. Whereas the person he despised, the tax collector, and tax collectors were despised much more so than they are today, because the tax collector, knowing that he was a sinner, cried out to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says it was the tax collector who left the temple that day justified, rather than the Pharisee. We could have read from Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15, How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? Usually taken to be a reference to the devil. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I will make myself like God, because I am so wonderful. But you, God says to him, you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. It was pride that was at the root of his rebellion against God. We see the example of Pharaoh and the arrogance of Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5. When Moses gave him God's message, let my people go. Pharaoh's response was, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. And Pharaoh repeatedly said, I will not let you go, until, after all the plagues of Egypt, eventually after the death of the firstborn sons of all of Egypt, he said, go, go! And they went. But even then, Pharaoh realized, hang on, who's going to do all the hard work? And chased after the Israelites. At the Red Sea, the army of Pharaoh was destroyed. We have a very good example also in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 4, we read about Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar's pride. The king answered and said, is this not great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to whom he will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like birds' claws. Nebuchadnezzar had become so proud and arrogant that God brought him down, not a peg or two, but right down to the bottom. God humbled him until Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses. He was humbled and he acknowledged the sovereignty of God in all things. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 26, God warned the Israelites against arrogance, not just towards one another, but towards anyone. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father. That's a reference to Abraham. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a great nation, great, mighty, and populous. But why was that? That was because God was blessing them. But it was only because of God's blessing upon them. And if they turned against God, then the blessing would depart from them. And then they would suffer trials and difficulties. And when you read on from Deuteronomy into Joshua, you see problems beginning to arise. And when you get into the book of Judges, the problems multiply. And they get invaded by all the surrounding nations. Until they call upon the Lord to deliver them, and God sends them a deliverer to deliver them. So what should be our attitude? We should not be arrogant. Rather, we have a pattern to follow, an example given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, God in human flesh, had the right to make demands upon people. Do you not know who I am? And doubtless you've heard many examples of people who respond to not being treated as they think they should be treated. Don't you know who I am? There is a story about a person had parked their car blocking someone's driveway, and when he came back, the householder remonstrated with him, and the response was, don't you know who I am? I'm Colonel so-and-so. And the householder, very quick-witted, said, sir, do you not know who I am? I am Brigadier General. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'll move right away. Of course, he wasn't a Brigadier General. He made that up on the spot. But some people have such a high-handed attitude. I am so important. Is that what the Lord Jesus Christ did? No. He humbled himself, taking the form of a servant, and humbled himself even to death on a cross, the most humiliating form of execution that probably has ever been invented. He had a right to glory, but he did not exercise that right. Indeed, in John chapter 13, he washed the feet of his disciples, a job to be done by a servant. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you want to be great, then you must serve. The greatest among us is the one who serves. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of self-denial and humility. So if the Lord Jesus Christ is God, how much more humble should we be? Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. To not be like the Pharisees, who always thought themselves better than others, as we saw earlier from that passage in Luke 18, that we must avoid the dangers of thinking we know better than anyone else, and so we never take advice or correction. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Because I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. Thinking we can depend upon ourselves and not needing any assistance from anybody else, and let alone God. Why do we need God's help? I have all the strength and power I need. And this is one example of where having great wealth can be a great hindrance, because you think, I've got all this wealth, I don't need God to help me. A person who has great wealth perhaps needs God's help more than others, because they need to avoid that arrogance, that sense of superiority, that sense of I'm better than other people because of the wealth that I have. I always remember a gentleman, a professor of theology, Professor Hook, I heard many years ago. And he said when he was at university, he shared a room with another student. Professor Hook was not well off. He came from a poor family, I believe. But he shared a room with someone who did come from a wealthy family. And he commented to his roommate once how it was so much easier for him that Professor Hook, he had to depend upon God for everything. And the roommate said, no, you don't understand. The more wealth you have, the more difficult it is to trust in God, because wealth makes you feel as if you don't need to trust in God. And I need to remind myself every day that the reason I am in this position is not because I am wonderful. It's not because my family is wonderful. It's because God is wonderful. And God sustains me. And one day, as we have seen, one day I will leave this world and I can't take it with me. And I will stand before God naked as everybody else. We haven't got any wealth or money or status unless we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So we need to avoid being arrogant by recognizing everything we have comes from God, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Who sees anything different in you? What have you that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Everything you have comes from God. I do not have the things I have because I'm wonderful. It's because God has chosen to bless me. But why? Don't understand why, but he has. We should therefore always be grateful for what God has done for us and what God has given to us. We need to serve others. And the more we have in terms of wealth and in terms of abilities, we need to use those things not to glorify ourselves, but to serve others. So true humility is expressed in service in Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave for all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we need to be humble, and being humble means we must be open to being corrected by the Word of God and by others. So we must allow ourselves to be taught. And thus, as James tells us in James 1:22, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so we need to pray that God would make us humble. Much better that we are humble rather than God has to humble us. Being humbled by God can be painful. Recognize that in all things we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We are the servants of the living God. Luke chapter 17, verse 7. Will any one of you who has a servant ploughing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink? And afterward you will eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you have, you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. If we are truly humble, we will be greatly blessed. Once more in James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. But do not be humble with the thought in your mind, so if I'm humble, I'll be exalted. Well, if you think in that way, you're not really humble. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, God's time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And one of the ways in which he devours is by encouraging us not to be humble, but to exalt ourselves. If we are humble, then we may gain wisdom. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. And if we are humble before God, God will, at the appropriate time, exalt us. In Luke 14:11, it says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So in conclusion, what is important for us? It is humility against arrogance. Pride leads ultimately to destruction. But humility invites the blessing of God. And we have the perfect model to follow, the perfect example to follow. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing how he humbled himself in coming into the world. We need to examine our hearts on a regular basis, reject all pride, rather walk in dependence upon God. And so we need to ask God to reveal to us any aspect of our lives where we are arrogant, that we might cease to be arrogant, and then take definite, clear steps to do away with arrogance and rather to serve others and to prefer them above ourselves. And ultimately, in so doing, we should be seeking to glorify God in all that we do. Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ who gave us that example, and not glorify ourselves. Well, may God help us and bless us as we seek to put these things into practice.